Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God from the first reading for Reformation Sunday. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. This is God's word. I have kind of mixed feelings about Reformation Day. But you wouldn't think being a Lutheran pastor. I mean, I love singing A Mighty Fortress and all these old school Reformation hymns. I mentioned those at the beginning of the service. And, you know, I love talking about Luther and his impact on the church, Martin Luther, the 16th century monk and priest and doctor of theology who reformed the church. But the problem with Reformation Day is that it can be turned into sort of a Lutheran pep rally. Okay? Sort of, yahoo, we're Lutheran, right? Now, I don't know, maybe you guys don't think that way. You're not a Lutheran geek like me as a pastor, but there's a temptation to do that. I mean, it was especially apparent last year when it was the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and you saw all the publishers and everyone, they were selling Luther bobbleheads and Luther action figures and every book and everything on Luther you can imagine. It was a little bit ridiculous. I mean, we kind of turn Reformation Day into sort of this hero worship of Martin Luther. In fact, one of the reasons that this reading is chosen for Reformation Day is because back in 1546, at Martin Luther's funeral, Luther's pastor, a guy named John Bugenhagen, who was a pastor in Wittenberg and Luther's pastor, said that in Revelation 14, when John had a vision of an eternal gospel being carried overhead, Bugenhagen said Martin Luther was that angel carrying the eternal gospel. Was he? Was Revelation foretelling Martin Luther? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I would say it with a whole lot of certainty, but so it goes. We tend to kind of make Martin Luther into this beer-drinking, potty-mouth Lutheran hero of the people. I don't know if you've ever kind of seen Luther pictured that way. And I think Luther would probably be kind of scandalized by the fact that he's become sort of this kind of cult hero of the Lutheran church and churches throughout the world, honestly. You see, I'm reminded of a conversation I had a number of years ago with someone who wanted to talk about the fact that there were all these different churches in the world. I mean, you've got not just Lutheran churches, but Baptist churches and Presbyterian churches and Catholic churches and Pentecostal churches and non-denominational churches, just everywhere you go, different kind of church. This person said to me, you know, I like to think of the fact that there's so many different churches as though the church were a big painting and every one of them had a brush that was contributing to that painting to reveal God's love. And I said to her, well, that's a nice thought, but it's completely wrong. That's not true. No, there isn't a Lutheran faith and a Baptist faith and a Catholic faith and a Pentecostal faith and an evangelical faith and a Methodist faith and a different faith for every person under the sun. Friends in Jesus Christ, there is one faith. One faith. In fact, Paul says in the book of Colossians, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Savior, Jesus Christ, and one faith that gifts us with eternal life. And rather than us all thinking as though, you know, that there's all these different churches that all have something to contribute, I actually respond to that person by saying this. I said, no, it's actually more like this. There's one faith, Jesus Christ, and the church, if you want to compare it to a painting, is to be an image of Jesus Christ and his love for us on the cross. And when people look at the church, look at that painting, if you will, they see Jesus and his love for them. But when false teaching gets in the way, it defaces the painting and obscures Jesus. It keeps him from being seen clearly. That is what John sees in our first reading this morning from Revelation. John was the last of the apostles to live. It's believed that all the apostles of Jesus Christ were martyred, put to death for their faith, except for St. John. And late in his life, as he was an old man living in exile on the island of Patmos, he received these visions that are contained in the book of Revelation. And these visions were to be a great comfort to the church. You know, we think of Revelation as doom and gloom and plagues and terrible things happening. No, it was a message of comfort. Comfort like this. An angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. Do you hear the way that John describes the gospel? He calls it eternal. He uses a word for the gospel that is usually used for God, for Jesus Christ. God, our Heavenly Father, who is eternal. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, eternal with the Father. The Holy Spirit, the eternal gift of God to his people. And people who desire to inherit eternal life. That gospel is described as eternal. Without beginning, without end. In other words, one message. One faith of salvation for the people of this world. What is that message? You know, there might be no more important question for you to be able to answer as a Lutheran Christian than that question there. What is the gospel? Because there's a bunch of different answers that people will give to it. Some people think the gospel is all about being social justice warriors, lifting up the poor and brokenhearted and the oppressed. I mean, that, yeah, we're supposed to reach out to others in love, but that's not the gospel. Some people think that the gospel is unlocking health and wealth and prosperity and happiness here in this world. Well, yeah, I mean, we have a God who cares about us and blesses us, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners, for you and for me. The Holy Son of God, God in human flesh, came into this world, took on our humanity, and lived amongst us, suffered as one of us, gave his life for us, and rose again on the third day. That is the gospel. That is the eternal message. And God forbid that anything would ever obscure that, get in the way of people seeing Jesus Christ. It's the eternal gospel without beginning and without end, which means it's always been the means by which God has saved his people. Another misconception I think we need to clear up. Some people think that in the Old Testament, people were saved by following all the laws that God had given the people. Uh-uh, that's not how it worked. Those people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Samuel, Isaiah, Daniel, all the people of the Old Testament, do you know how they were saved? They were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, just like you and me. How did they receive the gift of eternal life? Through Jesus Christ alone. He hadn't come yet. He hadn't died yet. They probably didn't even know his name. But they knew of a God who loved them and would save his people and would send them a deliverer promised all the way back in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. Jesus himself said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say, you know what, from this point on, now going forward, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No, he uses that name, I am. I am the name of God himself, given in Exodus 3. He is the way to heaven. He is the truth. He is the life, the eternal life for the people of God. And so, how do we as the church respond to Reformation Day? Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to have some pride in being Lutheran Christians and knowing what it means to be Lutheran. But at the heart of the Lutheran faith is this: Jesus crucified for sinners, the way, the truth, and the life. And, I mean, we've seen all throughout the church how that gospel has been obscured. I mean, you can find, you know, a church of whatever kind of floats your boat. You can find it. If you want someone that's going to give you good life advice on a Sunday morning, you can find that, but it won't be the gospel. If you want someone that's going to be dynamic and entertaining and tell good jokes on a Sunday morning, you can find that. Won't mean it's the gospel. You can find a church that has even better jelly donuts on a Sunday morning than our Redeemer Lutheran Church, but that won't be the gospel. You know, we all are under this threat to think that we desire something else than Jesus crucified for sinners. That's what this is, people. That's what we do here. Broken, poor, miserable sinners gathered together in need of the cross of Jesus Christ. And that is the Christian faith. The one faith, the only faith that there is. You know, if that Lutheran Reformation stood for one thing, if there was one thing you could summarize it all by, is that Luther uncovered the truth of the eternal gospel, Jesus for sinners. And just as that message is eternal, so Jesus is eternal, eternally with his people, with you, for the forgiveness of your sins. It's tempting to want to be about something else, to do whatever it will take to get people in the pews, whatever it will take to keep people coming back. And it's tempting to come here with a preconceived notion of what we think we should be getting out of Sunday morning. The reality is, dear friends in Christ, that each of you should come here week in and week out fully aware of the fact of your sin, and fully aware of a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has died for all of it. That's what the Lutheran faith strives to be all about. Our goal is to show Jesus Christ and him crucified and let nothing get in the way. That's what Luther discovered, rediscovered, actually, because it had always been there. That salvation is found free in Christ alone. As Jesus said in the Gospel from John chapter 8, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Luther discovered that, taught that you're not saved because you buy an indulgence from the Pope or because you give enough money to your church or because you do enough Hail Marys or because you do enough good works. You know, and the gospel isn't that you make a commitment to Jesus Christ, but rather that he makes a commitment to you. The gospel isn't that you be faithful and do all the good things laid out for you, but rather that Jesus is faithful for you on your behalf without fail. In fact, I think if I were to choose one word to sum up this faith, I know for a fact it's the word that Martin Luther himself would have chosen for this Christian faith. He would have called it Catholic. In fact, Martin Luther despised the name Lutheran. His opponents came up with it. The theologians and leaders of the Roman Catholic Church, they called Luther and his followers the Lutherans as some sort of knock. Well, Lutherans are kind of snarky and they have a way of sort of taking the words other people use and applying it to themselves. So, oh, you want to call us Lutherans? Yeah, we're Lutherans. And they loved that. But Luther himself hated the idea of a church being named after him. See, Luther never left the Catholic Church. He was excommunicated, forced out. And to his dying day, he saw himself as a faithful Catholic. And it wasn't him who had abandoned God's word, but rather the Roman Church of his day. In Luther's mind, it was the Roman Catholic Church who was no longer Catholic. That word Catholic simply means universal and eternal. When the Roman Catholic Church claims to be the Catholic Church, what they're saying is, they're it. They're the big thing. They are the church here on earth, the church of Jesus and his apostles. But the Catholic faith, the true Catholic faith, the faith that is universal and eternal, the eternal gospel, is Jesus dead on a cross for sinners, Jesus risen from the tomb on the third day. This Jesus has died and risen for you. And no matter what the world throws at you, no matter what Satan throws at you, no matter what attacks come your way, there is always Jesus, his death for you. What we do here in this church is a very Catholic thing. Some of you are thinking, I know it's Catholic, Pastor. You do all that chanting and stuff like that, sign of the cross. Boy, this is really Catholic. No. Jesus dead for sinners like you and me, risen from the grave for you and me, is the Christian faith. Jesus given in baptism for sinners. Jesus given in bread and wine with his very body and blood. This is the one faith. It's not a Lutheran faith, it's not a Baptist faith, it's not some brand of Christianity. It is the faith. Jesus for you. Jesus always for you. An eternal gospel. Jesus for you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.